I think the reason I'm older than him is that my grandkids are older. That's the only thing I can think of. I don't really give where you got the idea that I was older than him anyway, you know, but what are you, Brian?
I'm 64.
Oh, gosh. I'm 9 years older than him. You believe that? That's not fair. Seems like I've known him 62 of those 64 years. Well, I'm happy to be here this evening. As I was praying about this sermon, and usually when I pray about it, I get thoughts in my head, and usually the day of, the Lord helps me to put them together. But when I came to church this morning, I was glad Brian was preaching and not me, because I really didn't have anything when I came to church. And I appreciated Brian's sermon. I really did. And somewhere through that sermon, just I was directed to go to some scripture notes that I had from Honduras. So look at that note. Basically, just had that feeling. So after church, I went home and opened my two books of notes, and I opened the first one, and right there was some scripture notes on about the fundamentals of our belief. You know, we do kind of live in troublesome times. There's no denying that. The Lord has given us some insight, perhaps, of what's going on, but probably none of us have a full understanding of the days that lie ahead and the things that are happening. That's really not that important tonight anyway. As we head into the future, whatever's in store, and whatever the Lord has for us, all I know is that the Lord is in control, and His will be accomplished. But I guess in light of the events over the past 7 or 8 months, perhaps it's more important today than ever before to have a firm foundation. You know, my recent trips to Honduras and to California, and all the dreams and experiences that our various brothers and sisters have had, tells us we need to be strong and we need to be firm. That we need to be able to, like Peter said, be able to give an account of the hope that lies within us. And I would hope and I would pray that each and every one of us would be able to, at any given moment, be able to stand in front of somebody and tell them what we believe. Tell them why we have the hope that we do. You know, the Lord came and He gave us that hope. He gave us that hope on the cross. He gave us that hope with His words. He gave us that hope with His example. You know, our brother Brian this morning, you know, he talked about faith and hope and charity. And what is it that we hope for? Of course, we hope for that eternal life with our Heavenly Father. But I'm fully convinced that we can hope for a good and a better life here. The Lord promised us that. He promised us a life more abundant. Oh, we may have trials, we may have tribulations, we may have difficulties in life. But the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. You know, we've had several experiences. A sister here had a dream. We had the four experiences that probably most of you have heard about, perhaps haven't read or had a chance to examine them yet. But those four experiences, and like our brother pointed out this morning, they're basically from all over the world. And you add to that to the multitude of experiences that have been had that weren't included in those four. I think dreams and experiences of warning, of hope, of direction. You know, one of the experiences was one that our brother Felipe in Mexico had. And just briefly, he was at his house and people were going to the park to listen to somebody. I don't know. I don't remember who it was. And he warned, don't go there. It's dangerous. And he said, no, we're just going to listen. There's no problem. And when they got there, they were destroyed. They were destroyed by wolves. Apparently wolves in sheep's clothing. They looked harmless, but they went. And they were destroyed. There are dreams by other brothers and sisters in Mexico and Honduras and here and other places. But tell me, we need to be built on a sure foundation of Jesus Christ. There's many voices out there in the world, and unfortunately, some of them perhaps are entering into our church. Perhaps we're listening to voices from the outside that are going to destroy us, perhaps. I had an experience in Honduras. I'm just going to tell you briefly at the end of it. It was at the end of it. Well, it's this woman, and she was talking to us. She was preaching to us, and we didn't believe what she was saying. But all of a sudden, she was choking someone in our church. We knew that what she was saying wasn't true, but she'd come in and was destroying our church. So we need to be careful. There's outside voices. There's outside circumstances that could destroy us. We got some that have left the faith. And perhaps others that are actively trying to destroy us. You know, and many that I visited with, both in Honduras and when Gordon and I went to California, people were telling us that they felt the need to draw closer to God. Use this time. And that was what the Lord told me first off 8 months ago. Use this time wisely. Use it to draw closer to me. You know, we've been commanded to come out of Babylon. To me, it's twofold. It's spiritual and it's physical. We need to spiritually separate ourselves from this world. Begin physically to separate ourselves from some of the things perhaps that give us pleasure, that some of the things we are involved in that are of the world that do us no good spiritually. You know, the Lord, and I'm going to read it. 3 Nephi chapter 5. 3 Nephi chapter 5. And it was his first appearance here. And he had just finished, and it's interesting, just finished in, I think, 10 verses, telling the doctrine of his father. Three times. Three times he told it in about 10 verses. And then he said, on 3 Nephi chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 41 and 42. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine. And whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And whoso shall declare more or less than this, and establish it for my doctrine, the same cometh of evil, and is not built upon my rock, but he buildeth upon a sandy foundation, and the gates of hell stand open to receive such when the floods come and the winds beat upon it." The floods are here, brothers and sisters, and the winds are beating upon us. Are we built on that sure foundation of Jesus Christ? Do we have sufficient hope? Do we have sufficient faith? As our brother mentioned this morning, do we have sufficient charity to stand? You know, when the Lord came, He came, of course, and He died on that cross. He gave His life, He spilled His blood to give us hope. You know, and He was buried and He was resurrected on the third day. Broke the bands of death. But while He was here, He gave us the words of life. You know, Paul said in Romans, he said, "The gospel of Jesus Christ," and I'm paraphrasing, "is the power of God to salvation." We have the words of Christ. We have what is necessary. We have the rock of Christ to build upon, and we build upon it with our faith, by our obedience. Of course, that obedience begins with having faith, having hope, having charity. That obedience is repentance of our sins. And I remember, now I know how old I am, I remember 46 years ago, almost 47 years ago, when the Lord first touched my heart. Most unlikely candidate for a membership in the Church of Christ you ever saw, but He touched my heart. He worked with me. He struggled with me. I wanted to do it, but I kicked and I screamed. And I resisted because I liked what I was doing. And it wasn't until he gave me a couple experiences that I really gave my heart to Him. But I repented. I entered the waters of baptism, and just like everyone else here who's gone down into those waters, when we come out, we're white and pure. Those sins, if we've truly repented and given our heart to God, are totally gone. You know, we get to start again. But you know, you put a whiteboard up in front of here, and every once in a while, there's little black marks. Little black marks appear on that pure white soul because we're not perfect. Because we fail, we sin. But the wonderful thing about our God is that when we go to Him in humility and sincerity, seeking His forgiveness, we can have that white board again. One of my recent experiences was with somebody who puts a lot of emphasis on the things of the world. Experiences of other people that are not of our church. You know, and I'm not saying that all experiences that people have in the world are wrong or totally going to lead us astray, but we need brothers and sisters to be careful. To be careful of that voice we're listening to. We need to build a solid foundation that we can discern right from wrong, that we can sift out all the messages that we get, all the input that comes from whatever source, and we need to be able to sift it out and follow the word of God. That's the truth. We have the truth. We have the plan. We have the blueprint. I think all of us have read the end of the book. We know the end result. We just don't know exactly where the path is to get us there. But we have to trust God, to put our faith in Him and to listen to Him and to follow the plan that He has given us, to follow the words that He has given us, and to be faithful followers of our Savior. So our faith, it must be grounded on the rock of Jesus Christ. You know, the Book of Mormon in Mosiah chapter 2. And, you know, we are very blessed in the Church of Christ. Very blessed that we have these two books. That we have the Bible, and that we have the Book of Mormon, because they complement each other. They're witnesses to each other. You know, and in the Bible, you read the Bible, and like Paul says, we have that plan of salvation. Christ gave us the plan of salvation. We have the words of life. And then you can go to the Book of Mormon and have verification of it. And I was looking today in Mosiah chapter 2. Mosiah chapter 2, and I'm going to read 10 through 12. It says, "And also the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping his commandments, and continue in the faith even until the end of his life, I mean the end of the mortal body. I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation." So we put our trust in Christ. We're diligent in keeping His commandments. Those commandments to have faith and to repent and to be baptized and to endure to the end. We do that. The promise of God is eternal life. "The atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or whichever shall be, even unto the end of the world, and this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation. Say this which has been spoken of, neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you." The same conditions that our brother is telling us here, our brother King Benjamin is telling us here, are the same conditions that Christ taught his disciples. Many voices are going to try to lead us astray. You read in Matthew, and he says, if somebody says, "Come, I'm Christ, come here, or come here," he says, don't believe them. There's many voices. There's only one God. There's only one Christ. There's only one plan. There's only one way to salvation. We must be grounded firm on that foundation of Jesus Christ, that we be not shaken, that we be not led astray. He only built one church. You know, you read in Matthew, the 16th chapter, he only built one church. He built it upon himself. He built it upon that rock. Only preached that one gospel. And we must be able to tell others. Perhaps it's only going to be one out of that 243 that our brother mentioned this morning. Maybe just one, but we need to be able to tell that one person the hope that we have. And that hope that we have is more than telling our coworker or someone, "I believe in Jesus Christ." They'll tell you the same thing. Our hope is more deep and more firm, more sure than just believe. As I was following the instruction I was given to look at my sermon notes from Honduras, the second one that I came across was about hope. The hope that our brother spoke about this morning. that we must have in Jesus Christ. You know, he promises eternal life. If we follow him and keep his commandments and endure to the end, and remember, Jesus Christ cannot lie. He said, if we do that, we have eternal life. And that's the promise. That's part of the foundation. That's part of the hope that we have, that he promises eternal life if we're obedient. And we have that hope of a better life today. You know, we do live in very trying times. But we do not live in a time that we have no hope, and that we have no future. I know sometimes we can feel that, you know, we hear, well, the Lord's going to return soon, and I'm not a prophet. I don't know exactly when. But we hear that, and we kind of give up. I remember 40 years ago hearing the same message, and a lot were people, well, what's the sense? You know, Christ is going to come. And it doesn't matter if he comes tomorrow or in a year or 10 years, or it really doesn't matter. Let's not abandon our hopes. Let's not abandon our dreams. Let's face this life with hope and with purpose. You know, I come to a conclusion a long time ago to live my life like I'll be here for I don't know how many years, but be prepared that he may come tomorrow. That's all. Just be prepared. Let's not abandon our hopes and our dreams, but be prepared for the Lord's return. Plan. Make plans. It's okay. But, you know, in reality, these coming events and the return of the Lord, I think we make a mistake when we look at it as doom and gloom and the end of the end. It's not the end. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of a new chapter in this book we call life. Glorious times. They are. They're going to be glorious times. You know, the Lord said in Luke in the 21st chapter, he said, when you see these things, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. And if I understand the scriptures right, and afterwards you can correct me if I'm wrong, but if I understand the scriptures right, perhaps this 1,000 years that we're coming into is not going to be a whole lot different than today. You know, but it was Isaiah. He said, we're going to have our house. You know, we're going to have our own fig tree. Somebody mentioned, he says, I got to have a different tree than a fig tree. I don't like figs, you know. But we're going to have our own house. He said, nobody else is going to own it. We're going to sit under our own tree. And if I understand Isaiah correctly, family unit may just go right into this 1,000 years, and you're going to raise your family. You're going to be a family. Can you imagine that for 1,000 years? So it's not the end. It's the beginning of something glorious, a beginning of a world with, well, no sin, no violence. Won't have to worry about our children playing on the street or going out into the wilderness. That lion is not going to hurt you. You know, in the 23rd Psalm, and I was drawn to this when I was in Honduras, went to Oakley with Ronnie, and I did a Sunday school class there, and I was drawn to this scripture. Psalm 23, probably half of us here can quote it. The only thing I remember from my days in the United Church of Canada, we had to memorize this psalm. I don't think I ever down exactly, but they let me get away with it. So, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it, my Bible says David's confidence in God. He said, and he's making a statement, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my pastor, he's my leader, he's my guide. And what does a shepherd do? He cares for his flock. He cares for his flock. He's not going to leave us alone, brothers and sisters. He's not going to abandon us. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Kind of a nice scene before us, isn't it? We lay down in green pastures and beside the still water. And just imagine a field full of sheep laying in those green pastures and beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Are we troubled? Are we anxious? Are we depressed? Do we have problems and needs and feel overwhelmed? He says, he restoreth my soul. He gives us new life. He gives us new fire. He gives us new hope. He says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for whose sake? For his name's sake. If we follow Christ, he's going to lead us in the paths of righteousness. We're not going to be going down some strange and forbidden path. If we're following him and adhering to his voice, he says, he is going to lead me in the paths of righteousness for his sake. You know, in Matthew, he said, let your light shine before the world, that they may what? See your good works. For what purpose? To glorify God. Brian mentioned that this morning. Glorify God. Are we doing all we can to glorify God? You know, mentioned this in my last sermon, I think the Lord said, you've seen the things that I have done, do them. Not many of us are going to move a mountain or walk on water. Perhaps not raise the dead. But his life glorified God. That's what he's asking us to do, to live our lives that we bring glory to God. We bring glory to God by coming out of Babylon spiritually, removing ourselves from those spiritual bondages that sometimes we find ourselves in, and giving our heart and our mind to God, and removing ourselves from participation in some of the things of the world that may be detrimental to our souls. You know, I find it interesting in this on this COVID thing and everything that's gone on with it, you know. And the Lord said in the 9th chapter of 3rd Nephi, he was going to bring down the idols. And I could name some idols today that he is in the process of bringing down. The movie industry and the sports idols that we have. He's destroying them. Anyway, I'm getting a little sidetracked. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And aren't we? I kind of look at today. We're walking in the valley of the shadow of death. We don't know what's coming. You know, we got this virus that could attack us. We got all these things. We don't know what's going to happen in a couple weeks. Life is kind of tenuous right now. It's kind of shaky. He says, I will fear no evil. David said, I will fear no evil. And he was surrounded by enemies. His own son was out to kill him. He was surrounded by enemies, people trying to destroy him. He says, I will fear no evil. For he knew that the Lord was with him. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's word is going to comfort us. His spirit is going to comfort us. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The Lord's going to prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. We don't need to fear. He says, he anoints my head with oil. He blesses us. That, to me, is symbolic. He's blessing us with his spirit and with his presence. He says, my cup runneth over. He's overflowing with the abundance of God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If we serve God and we follow him, his mercy and his goodness will follow us. And the promise is that we will dwell forever with God. You know, and just repeat, the Lord, you know, in Luke 21, he said it in Matthew 24 and other places, but he told us something, or he told us about some of the things we're living in today. But he said, when you see these things happening, he said, summer is nigh. It's time. The time is coming. And that's when he said, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We have hope. We have hope. And our hope lies in Christ and in his promises. We need to be strong. We need to be faithful. We need to be grounded. We need to be able to give an account of our hope. I was, I don't know who picked the songs, but I was impressed. You know, in 389, you know, Jesus, mighty King in Zion, thou alone our guide shall be. And it goes on to say, we will follow none but thee. You know, it's a promise. I remember, it's a promise. Not always kept. Promise I made at my baptism. That, and we do, we make that promise that we will follow none but Jesus. It was a promise way back in March or April, but all these voices were there. We had, you know, and back then it was the voice of the government, it was the voice of the medical community, it was this voice and that voice, do this, don't do that. Overwhelming almost, things we should do and we shouldn't do. But the one voice that speaks above the others, that speaks out of the noise of the world, if we listen. And sometimes we have to listen. And that is the voice of God. We will follow none but Jesus. We will follow that voice. If we listen, it's there. It's there. And we can pick it out. And then the second song. Is your all on the altar. Judgment begins at the house of God. Brothers and sisters, we are being tried today. We are being tested today. We are being judged by God today. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice made, laid. Your heart. This is the part that got me when we were singing it. Your heart does the spirit control. So easy to lose hope. So easy to lose faith. So easy to be led by other voices. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. We need. Imperative. It's a must. There's no question. We must give him all our heart and all our soul. Allow God to lead us. To listen to that voice. To come out of Babylon. To come unto Christ and have his spirit more fully in our lives and be led and directed and guided by him. And if we do, we won't fail. We will not fail. That's the promise that God has given us. We will not fail in this life, and we will certainly not fail in our hope and our goal of eternal life with him. I appreciate your attention. Pray God's blessing upon us. Thank you. Thank you.